Good afternoon, everyone. As we enter into our afternoon, we now take on another missions and ministry segment and have another interview for sharing and mutual encouragement. And so I have before us this afternoon Faith McDonald, who is with the International Religious Liberty, or is the International Religious Liberty Director for the Institute of Religion and Democracy based in Washington, D.C. Faith, please tell us a little bit about yourself, who you are, and what you do.
Okay, thank you, Jay. Yes, Faith McDonald, and I work in Washington, D.C. at the Institute on Religion and Democracy. We have a table back there with the really tall banner that looks like it's going to fall over on you when you're at the table. We put out a lot of publications, including our newest, which is Providence Magazine, a journal on Christianity and American foreign policy. So grab an issue of that if there's still some there, and you can also subscribe. I direct the Religious Liberty Program, International Religious Liberty, doing advocacy for persecuted Christians around the world, and have worked on various pieces of legislation, including the International Religious Freedom Act in Congress, which just had its 20th anniversary.
Wonderful. Now, I understand that you're one of the founding members of the Save the Persecuted Christians campaign. Please tell us about what that campaign is and how it got started. And I think we have a banner in the back.
Yes, there's a banner above the doors in the back. And this is a new campaign that has just started in the last few months to raise awareness of our brothers and sisters around the world who are being persecuted for their faith. And it's based on, in the 1960s, 1970s, there was a campaign called Save Soviet Jewry, which synagogues all over America put banners in front of their synagogues that said, Save the Soviet Jews. And because of that awareness, because of the solidarity with those persecuted people, which also spread to other dissidents in the Soviet Union, there was legislation that helped to change our trade laws with the Soviet Union and got people out of prison. So we're looking for the same thing. We're looking to change the DNA of American churches so that we will just naturally think of our brothers and sisters. It won't be something separate that you just think, oh yeah, we should pray for the persecuted church. We are that same body. And of course, being in Cana, we have persecuted Anglicans in Nigeria, persecuted now not only by Boko Haram, but by the Fulani, and dying for their faith. So we need to stand with them.
Now, in your current work, what is one challenge that you are facing right now?
Well, as I was saying, one challenge is the lack of concern that American Christians seem to show. We're actually having a conference in Washington next Thursday, and my boss, who loves controversy, decided to title it, Why Christians Don't Care About Christians. And you may think, well, what Christians care about everybody. They love everybody. Yes, we do. But we are, according to the Bible, to have a special love for our own brothers and sisters. And some people think, oh, you know, that's being selfish. But the Bible tells us in Galatians 6:10 to do good to all, but especially to those who are of the household of faith. And we need to be willing to speak out for them. We need to be willing to be politically incorrect. We need to be willing to speak the truth about things like Islam that are slaughtering our brothers and sisters around the world.
Could you highlight for us a success story in your work?
Oh, yeah. There have been a lot of successes because God is so good, and he has brought about so much. We have seen people released from prison after prayer. I worked on the campaign for Miriam Ibrahim, a Sudanese woman who was in prison in Khartoum and was going to be killed for apostasy because she converted to Christianity. By the grace of God, because she was pregnant, she was not executed because the imam said, oh, well, we'll let her live until she has the baby and then nurses the baby, then we'll execute her. So in the meantime, the whole world just got behind her and spoke up, and she was freed. So that's one wonderful story, and there have been others like that. So keep praying.
Amen. Now, if anybody would like to learn more about what you do and get involved with persecuted Christians and helping out with this cause, what can they do and how can they reach out to you?
Well, they can reach out to me at the IRD. It's theird.org. And especially for our new Save the Persecuted Christians campaign, every church that's represented here, you could get a free banner like that to put on your lawn. Some of you have lawns. My church is still meeting in an elementary school, so we don't have a lawn to put it on. But if you do have a lawn, you should have one of those banners, and you can get it free along with a resource kit by getting in touch. You have this paper in your bag, and that's what it's about, and it will tell you how to get a banner at SaveThePersecutedChristians.org with a number. And by the way, this woman, this is the widow of one of the men, the Coptic men who was slaughtered by ISIS on the beach in Libya. That's who is on this photo. So these are our brothers and sisters. She's forgiven them, you know? I mean, that God gives you special grace to be able to forgive people like that. But we need to stand with them regardless.
Before we were getting ready to conduct the interview, you mentioned that you had a prayer request.
Yes. Well, one prayer request is that before Synod is over, and mostly, ideally would be when all the clergy are vested gorgeously, we all stand in front of that banner and we get a picture. Maybe Ray could take a picture of the whole group so we can send it throughout the world to our persecuted brothers and sisters to show them that we are standing with them. Sorry. And the other prayer request is, I can't tell you a lot about it, but I'm praying for a special letter. It's like the letter that Nehemiah got from Artaxerxes. There's a country where something's going on where we need a letter like that right now. And it would not only help the country, but the young person who is working on it needs to know his Messiah. And that would be a long way to get him to believe that God is answering that prayer.
Amen. Well, let's take a moment to pray for the persecuted church and the suffering church before we continue with the rest of the afternoon. Almighty and all-powerful God, we give you praise and thanks for the many blessings that you give us in life and for us in this country who have the freedoms that we do. May we ever be mindful, Lord, of our brothers and sisters in Christ in different parts of the world who are suffering and are being persecuted for their faith. Even now, Lord, there are those who are in the midst of suffering, in the midst of experiencing pain and trial and injustice in their lives, those who are being threatened. Father, we pray for them, and we pray that you would deliver them from the hands of the evil one, and that you would deliver them from evil people intent on destroying their lives.
Yes,
and Lord, for this specific request that faith has brought us today, we pray, Lord, that your redemptive purposes will be fulfilled.
Thank you.
We ask this through the glory of your great name, Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Thank you very much, Faye.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
It.